Good morning, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good morning to all the folks who exist within the various 14 realms of the transformational, transdimensional, disestablishmentarian, and de-escalational universe. Good morning to the folks that are traveling along the great river towards the great desert. Good morning to the human beings that live amongst the friendly folk. Good morning to the Quadrazek people and the great monk warriors of Madagascar. It is September the 3rd, 2020, right around 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here in Seattle. Yes, indeed, it is fucking Thursday, September the 3rd, 2020. I've decided to keep my notes on the blog that Jim and I threw together back in April, the Igloo Luau blog off my website. I figured, what the hell, why not keep a little Saigon Report note somewhere? But then I found the notes to become a strange thing to me. Strange notes you find. Strange little fucking letters written to a mind gone insane someplace in the future realm. You know that explosion in Beirut? You know that explosion from a few weeks ago in Beirut? The one where they said a Russian dude had too much manure in his ski boat. If you have a ski boat, don't keep too much fertilizer in it. Don't park your ski boat at the port facility. You can get an explosion that looks like a 4 kiloton nuclear device, but it's not right. Because Israel doesn't have nuclear weapons, right? I mean, if they admitted to it, then we couldn't actually give them $5 billion a year, right? If they admitted to the fact that they have nukes, because then they would be in violation of something called the Non-Proliferation Treaty. But since there is no fucking rule of law, why the fuck is an anarchist quoting the Non-Proliferation Treaty? That makes no fucking sense. Thank you. Was going nowhere. Nowhere fast because I need to practice more and I suck. That's enough of that bullshit about black. Well, no. Yeah, so there was gunshots in Little Saigon last night, you know, around 11 p.m. and earlier, automatic fire. You know, it's funny, I was never in combat. I was in the army, but I was never in combat. I missed the wars on terror. I guess that's funny. But now I get to hear automatic fire at least once or twice a week. I get to hear gunshots almost every fucking night. And if you're acquainted with quantitative sciences or statistical sampling theory, or why the fuck it is they don't count every fucking salmon that goes to the lock, or count every fucking bacteria they see when they look through their fucking microscope, it's called sampling theory. All things being equal, if the law of large numbers holds and you get enough distribution, you get something called random distribution. And so, in theory, if you're trying to analyze something, you don't have to look at it all the time. You just take samples. So the key learning point here is that I'm just a crooked old dude, just a broken up, burnt out old programmer in Little Saigon. The likelihood that I'm hearing all the gunshots is zero. So that's enough of that. Those are notes from the 3rd of September, which is today. I don't know. I was going to talk about the fucking flying monkeys, but tired of talking about flying monkeys. Tired of a lot of this shit, folks. You know, yesterday I kind of went off on a tangent in my own life and decided to watch a bunch of these fucking movies on YouTube about killer bees, the fucking killer bees. Films about killer bees and planes crashing out of the sky. Films about giant sharks and orca whales that kill people. I saw a movie with William Shatner in it. It was called, what was it called? Kingdom of Spiders. Yes, I saw a film called, I think it was called Kingdom of Fucking Spiders. And it had, oh my god, it had frickin' William Shatner in it. And, you know, I don't know what to tell you about that fucking movie. I really don't know what to say. I think I saw it when I was a kid. It's one of those movies that Shatner made between Star Trek old school and the whole movie bullshit. You know, the first movie that came out in like, what, 78 or 79? Star Trek the motion fucking picture. Hey, V'ger, how do you like your fucking cue ball head? Hey, V'ger, why don't you buy yourself some more razors? Hey, V'ger, how the fuck did you become a sexy underwear model, bald-headed underwear model, after drifting through space like space trash for several hundred years? Hey, V'ger, yeah, you ever see that Star Trek motion picture? It's got some of the most boring and expensive scenes in it you can imagine. There's a scene where they're slowly orbiting V'ger, and it lasts like 10 minutes, but it feels like 20 hours. 20 hours. So yeah, I was, you know, watching stupid movies about killer bees and thinking about the shit that people are afraid of. Back in the 70s, we were afraid of so many interesting things. You remember Mr. Yuck? Mr. Yuck, I've talked about him before. You take the little Mr. Yuck sticker and you stick it on the poisonous shit underneath your sink. I remember that. You remember latchkey kids? I've talked to Justin about latchkey kids. It was some type of fear that there were kids that went home at night and actually opened their own fucking door. God forbid a child have the responsibility and intelligence to take care of themselves. Instead, we were told about the situation where working moms were leaving their kids at home unattended, and what they needed was more child care. Midnight basketball. Joe Biden's 1994 crime bill to commercialize putting children in prison. Yeah. I don't know. I've spoken about concertina wire because I've seen a lot of these videos of cops fighting the black-clad commie freaks called Black Lives Matters, and I've seen rubber cones used as obstacles, and I've talked about the fucking rubber cones. Believe me, when the concertina wire is rolled out, it will be unmistakable. If one of these black-clad freaks takes their mitty little commie palms and grabs some fucking razor wire, I would pay to see that. Triple strand anchored, Black Lives Matters commie protest, a Soros team of AstroTurf buttfucks marching into triple strand anchored concertina wire. That's a pay-per-view show, folks. You can sell that for $50 an hour worldwide. Anywho, that's enough of that topic. The other day I watched a bunch of fucking, I don't know how to put it. I watched a bunch of friggin' Love Boat. You know the show The Love Boat? And it occurred to me that The Love Boat, it's its own kind of bullshit. Like, when I was a kid and I watched it, I think, oh, that's kind of cheesy and stupid, and what's the point? But as I've gotten older, I've come to see these things as methods of control. And The Love Boat is its own kind of method of control. Its own kind of, super loop. People come on The Love Boat, all their shit is fixed. If you get to travel on a fucking, a fucking, if you get to travel on a fucking cruise ship, that's a funny thing about the Love Boat is that when the Love Boat takes off, people look at them like, yay! Look at the Love Boat! They're taking off! They're going places! But it's bullshit. The Love Boat is a ship of fools. The Love Boat is a one-way trip across the River Styx. The Love Boat takes you directly to hell. The Love Boat's a lie, people. The Love Boat's a lie. It was always a lie. It was always a fucking hellhole. Isaac, the happy fucking bartender, guess what? He's into organ trafficking. Captain Steubing makes methamphetamine and other drugs for his, shipmates and crew. The doctor, the really cool doctor, he cooks up roofies and roofies chicks, the fucking guests on board the ship, he roofies them. Gopher, the purser yeoman. Gopher has a gambling addiction. Indeed, folks. And Julie, the cruise director. Julie's the worst of all on Love Boat. Julie is the number one scumbag on Love Boat. If you want to know the truth of it, Julie is a piece of shit. She is a manipulator. She practices neuro-linguistic programming. She's always fucking with people. On the surface, you say, oh, she's just a pog. But she's not just a pog. She's a master manipulator. You think Captain Steubing runs the Pacific Princess? Are you fucking stupid? No. No, I say. And I say no three times before the gods. No. No. Julie is a demon sent from hell. Julie's a crossroads demon, just like Mr. Rourke from Fantasy Island. Julie is the worst. Whatever your thoughts are about the Love Boat, you need to know that Julie is the worst. And she's a crossroads demon, just like Mr. Fucking Rourke. And Tattoo is just Yoda. Tattoo is just little Yoda being gaslit by Mr. Rourke, kept inside of a mind control prison. Tattoo is manipulated and beaten down emotionally. He is turned into a mongoose beast. Tattoo has been wrestled by the monsters of tomorrow. Tattoo is stuck in a swamp of failure. Oh yes, go ring the bell, Tattoo. Go ring the bell like a little monkey. Run for the bell, little fucking Tattoo. Scamper up those fucking steps of that spiral staircase. That's right, little Tattoo. Little Tattoo, we sing songs of you. You're beaten down by Mr. Rourke. Little Tattoo, you wanted a real person's car, but Mr. Rourke gave you a toy car. Mr. Rourke treats you like nothing but a little sklumpus. Mr. Rourke believes you're nothing but a tiny slave, not even worthy to be treated like one of the dogs he keeps in the pits out back where he feeds people to. I found a copy of the film Duel from 1971. If you've never seen it, it is, I believe, Steven Spielberg's first film. It is a story about a dude, a business dude, in 1971 on his way to a serious business thing. It's about a traveling man in the modern world who comes up against the reality of the barbaric and the violent. Dennis Weaver plays that main character in his fucking red car, his red sedan. And I never really ask who plays the other, because the other is almost like the truck. The whole movie is about the car versus the truck versus the car. In fact, the dialogue itself is at times almost distracting, because the real story is being told by the camera. So I found a copy of the movie Duel on YouTube, and I posted it as a link to these notes that I have linked to this fucking notes for this fucking podcast. But it's dubbed in Italian, Italiano, and frankly, the basic movie doesn't change much. I mean, yeah, a bit of the atmosphere changes when you think in terms of, like, Italian bullshit. Yeah, it's interesting. Duel's an interesting movie. But the other thing that occurred to me, too, is that every movie now that I watch is kind of like the movie Jaws. Because whether it's... Okay, so I watched the movie Killdozer yesterday. And I'd seen it when I was a kid. And again, it's kind of like Jaws, except for this case, Jaws is a D9 Caterpillar, bulldozer... that gets possessed by an alien, which is strange because the general atmosphere of Killdozer is very similar to John Carpenter's version of The Thing, which is roughly based on a book by Lovecraft called At the Mountains of Madness, You Fuck, without the You Fuck. At the Mountains of Madness by H.P. Lovecraft. But Lovecraft also wrote a short story called Color Out of Space. And what's weird about the fucking Killdozer, it's like you take John Carpenter's version of The Thing, which won't be done until the future, because, hey, Killdozer is still in the past, right? But if you take his version of The Thing, which is really based on At the Mountains of Madness, and you mix it into a fucking goulash along with A Color Out of Space, you end up with Killdozer. And then if you add in Jaws, and maybe every movie is really Jaws... Every good movie is Jaws. Every great drama or story is about confronting the great white shark of your unconscious. Every great story is about facing the Carcharian Carcharius, the great white shark that lurks in our soul. These stories tell us how to travel beyond our limitations. All we have to do is, like, I don't know, maybe shove a compressed air tank into the mouth of the shark. Or toss some dynamite at the fucking Killdozer. But here's what's even weirder. Howard Hawks, original version of The Thing... not to be confused with John Carpenter's version of the movie The Thing. In the original by Howard Hawke, they kill the alien, which is really a big vegetable, just a big fucking carrot that drinks blood. They kill the blood-drinking carrot by electrocuting it. Do you know how they kill the Killdozer, which is roughly based on Color Out of Space, which is weirdly like the movie The Thing by John Carpenter? But in the original Thing by John Carpenter, Howard Hawks The Thing, they electrocute the carrot, but they also electrocute the bulldozer in Killdozer, and yet Killdozer's got that Color Out of Space element to it. You see how it's one big fucking mess? It's like you say to yourself, I'm gonna travel with broken teeth. I'm gonna get past a prison guard and get outside the yard. I'll carry my lead pipe and my frozen peas. I will be covered in fleas because I am the traveler. I took along my cocaine comrades. And their minds are a terrible mess. They're just food to me. Stop obeying and start being. That's right. Stop obeying and start being. I don't know where this is going, folks. These notes are getting weirder all the time. These notes are getting weirder all the fucking time. Do you know that the time is coming? We'll all be wandering the streets. We'll be wandering the streets like crazy people. We'll have gloves of iron and hooks and putrid edges of morbid eyes. Gumbus freaks staring at us like we're meat tacos. Your woman is feverish. Your woman's money is burning. They're printing so much of it. You think the whole world cares? You know it's hooker land. Here's some good advice. Eat healthy food. Don't eat too much. Try to exercise. That's enough of that, really, right? If you have to imagine me as a spaceship commander. I'm traveling not through outer space, but the inner space of the collective unconscious. I coast through the collective unconscious, deep inner space. I call back once in a while to friends and family, but my radio is broken. My radio is broken and my heart is a raisin. I am traveling through deep space with you folks. I travel through the broken caverns, through the darkness, through the asteroid belts. I slip through these black holes of my own broken mind, and you travel with me. I was thinking about this the other day, the idea that, you know, what is a peaceful life? What is a life that's not filled with stress and anger and people punching you in the face? And it occurred to me, one of the first steps to living a peaceful life is to not live around people pissed off at you. Now, you could argue, but Dan, what about narcissists and sociopaths and evil fucks and demons? Well, demons don't care. I'm not talking about demons. They're happy if you're pissed off at them. I'm talking about decent people, normal everyday people. And this isn't about race or ethnicity or any of that fucking garbage. It's about what's in the soul. None of us are perfect. You know, we all make mistakes. We all screw up. And so if you were to ask me, what do I want in a community? I'll keep it dumb fuck simple. In my ideal community, people would probably fight. People would have disagreements. That happens. Welcome to the real world. But people would resolve them, and they wouldn't leave them below the surface. They wouldn't leave them festering like a fucking boil. If I want to live somewhere, I either want to live alone like a hermit in the middle of the fucking woods, or I want to live amongst people who are mostly not pissed off at me. And again, I'm not talking about issues of codependence either. I mean, you know, it's funny. Raylene and I were talking about this last night. It's not really about that. It's about this idea that you can feel anger and hate. You can. It ruins community when people hold shit in. They hold in their fucking grievances. They hold in whatever slights they think were held against them. I say, talk about that bullshit. And from personal experience, on more than one occasion, the absence of communication is what destroyed things. So if you want to have a community, a family, if you want to have neighbors and friends who are not pissed off at you, here's some simple fucking advice. Listen. And when you're done listening, explain your feelings. Explain your response. Don't just say a one-liner and flip somebody off and walk away. But communicate. Demons. If you want my humble opinion, a hobo shaman, a Christian minister, a burnt out computer programmer, to all the other schlumbus freaks, you know, scraping at the side of the wall of their own prison, here's my fucking idea. Demons live in those spaces where people don't talk. Demons live in those spaces where people are not willing to communicate. Demons live in those spaces where people hold those grievances and slights and suspicions and paranoias, and the demons whisper to you. And they tell you that your brother or your sister, your friend, your mother, your wife, your husband, your kids, the demons tell you, oh, they're plotting against you. They have terrible ideas about you. But the demons know that once you start talking, they go away. They know that once you start speaking to other people, once you are connected to your community, the demons can't live there. There's nothing there for them. And this is part of the message of Christ. in terms of how we protect ourselves from evil, none of us is perfect. None of us is without sin. One sinner to another, right? But if we can fight this together, voluntarily, right? Not as a cult, not as a thing where you have to participate, but because you want to be part of a community, you want to participate. If we can fight this together, fight this evil, and just talk, we can win. And not because we're perfect, and not because we're 100% good, but because we're willing to have the courage to listen, and even in some occasions, admit when we're wrong. Yes, indeed, on some occasions, we might even have to admit when we're wrong to other people, maybe, right? I'm not going to talk about chickens and potatoes and herbs and vegetables, salt, shelter, guns, friends, life, and Jesus. These are things you can research. Next topic. Smart systems. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Smart systems collapse gracefully. Dumb ones fall apart at the worst moment. Smart systems collapse gracefully. Dumb ones fall apart at the worst moment. This is the thing that we should think about at times like this. I don't really believe we have smart systems. Maybe in at some point in the past, you know, our various governments and bureaucracies and crony corporations had some sort of intelligent behavior. But whether you're talking about the federal government, Microsoft Corporation, Google, or any of these institutions, or the fucking banking system of the Federal Reserve, these are not smart systems. These are overly engineered, overly complicated, fraudulent systems. Which also means, A, when they do fall apart, they're not going to do so gracefully. It's not going to be linear. Oh, Dan, it'll fall apart, but it'll take a half-life over 50 years. No, that's how good systems fall apart. That's how intelligent systems fall apart. Stupid systems fall apart slowly, and then, like I think Hemingway once said, then all at once. That's how stupid systems fall apart. And we have a very stupid system right now. So I hope that makes you feel better. And what is the best protection in this life right now against too much complexity? Well, you can't control the crocodile, which is what I call the state, the complex of corporations and government that represents the state. You cannot control the crocodile. It is 12 trillion tons. It is feverish and diseased. It is covered in tumors and giant crabs. You cannot control the fucking crocodile. You cannot control the fact that it is big and diseased and gross and overly complicated and fraudulent and evil. You cannot control the fact that this nexus of government and corporate America is a bullshit paradise. But what you can do, what is within your power, is to simplify your own life. You can't simplify the complexity of Microsoft. Microsoft Corporation is an overly complex, inefficient company. If it weren't for the largesse of the Federal Reserve and our own government, Microsoft, like so many other companies, would blink out of existence. Cease to exist. You will not fix Microsoft, but you can fix your own fucking life. You can reduce your own fucking complexity. My advice right now would be to do that. You can't control the complexity of the world around you, but you can simplify your life. And the answers I would give you is reduce, don't expand, reduce and refine your sources of information. Reduce and refine. Lots of information's out there. Most of it is shit. Okay? Most of it's crap. So one thing you can do to simplify your life and add to your sanity is be a little bit smarter about the information you take in, A, and B, don't think you have to know everything. In fact, one way to simplify your life is to put down your fucking smart device. I get that some of you, quote unquote, need it for work, and that's really sad and depressing, but you don't have to go for a walk with your smart device. You can go for a walk for an hour, and you can leave your phone, excuse me, your dog collar at home. So no, you can't control the complexity of corporate America. You cannot control the complexity of your government. These things are so complex and so stupid, they are guaranteed by Poisson's own formulas to fail. But what you can do, given the fact that they're guaranteed to fail, is you can simplify and reduce the complexity of your own fucking life. And that's good advice between, you know, me and Jesus. More here, you know. I was going to talk about, I don't know, I think I will talk about this a little. So, full disclosure, a number of weeks ago, I made a recommendation on my podcast, and I recommended somebody to people. I hadn't purchased their product, and also, I'd never gotten paid to advertise. I recommended on the basis of optimism. And I still kind of stick to my guns on this because as dark as you might think I am, I haven't given up. I haven't given up on the human race. I haven't given up on myself. I don't think that we have to be doomed. I think there are things in our world that are going away. Sorry. And also there's no fucking Santa Claus. Did I shock you? So there are things in this world that are going away. They are. No amount of wishful thinking or tapping your fucking heels together is going to change that. But that doesn't mean everything is crap. One of the things that people still believe works is over-the-ground shipping. And here's what I would tell you. At this point in American history, if you were shipping large amounts of food, specifically beef, which is soon to be, let me put it this way, you can stack gold and silver. You can also stack meat. You can stack Bitcoin and Ethereum. You can have baseball cards. You can do that. You can have real estate portfolios. But you better have meat. I know you're saying, Dan, that's crazy. Are you telling me that beef, B-E-E-F, beef, that's meat from cows, you know, that that's soon going to be worth its weight in gold? And that's not exactly what I'm saying, but I'm not saying something too far off. For a year or two, maybe for the next few years, I think we're going to face a worldwide food crisis. I've said this. I think they avoided it a little by kind of starving the economy with the frickin', you know, COVID monkey herpes bullshit. But that only works so fucking long, and eventually, even if you do sort of shut things down, that also means people making food aren't really, you know, making the food either. So it really doesn't work long term. And in reality, it makes everything worse. When things do stop working, it just means it'll be worse. That's all. So you can stack silver and you can stack gold and you can have a real estate portfolio. That's your own frickin' business. My advice to people also, if you have the ability to store beef or any meat, like if you're a hunter and you can shoot like boar and deer and you can store that meat for as long as possible, maybe for a year or two if possible, if you can store it somehow either in a freezer or better yet, or actually not really better, but not quite as good if you can, yeah, if you can somehow store it in such a way that you can keep it available for as long as possible, I think a lot of people are going to be able to pay for rent this winter. They're going to pay with beef. I think people will pay for electricity this winter, in some cases, with beef. I think they're going to pay for a lot of things. Oh, you guys go see the doctor? Hey, you have a steak? How about a cheeseburger? You're probably, oh Dan, you're crazy. Are you saying that you might pay for a dental visit next year with two or three cheeseburgers? You know what? Maybe a dozen cheeseburgers. Maybe half a dozen. And I think that's it for today. This is a weird one. I've been putting my notes on the blog, so I'm going to include these notes. There's more in the notes than what I went through, full disclosure. So you're probably going to say, Dan, you're a jerk. You've let us down. There's more notes here than what you talked about, and I can't really help you there. All I can say is have a great day.